Okay, we left off yesterday on the end of the sugya on the bed, where the Gemara at least is posher halfway as to what the din of dichya. At least it's supposed to be the Gemara puts with us that if it's a female car, that's not so bad. So that will tolerate, that will accept, and will still be machshir the chesha mitzvah. Ain dichya it's a mitzvah. When it comes to something which is near dichya, which was kosher, then got disqualified, then wants to come back to life again, that's a much more serious problem of dichya. And that we're not willing so fast amount. We don't know for sure it's no good, but the Gemara, light by Suffolk, we're not sure. So now we're seeing the fact that the Gemara leaves us hanging with the Teiko, both the Rabbam and the Rosh, Paskin, Lekula, seem to ignore the Teiko and the Gemara and just conclude out that everything is okay. And even though the itself doesn't seem to conclude, the Rambam and the Rosh were comfortable saying that in the end of the day, this Ein Dichleitz Mitzvah under all circumstances. The question is, what changed in their eyes? What prompted the seemingly radical psak, which doesn't seem to fit into the end of the Gemara? So yesterday, we quoted the first of the five different approaches. We're going to try to talk about the other four today. We quoted the Beis Yosef. So I hope everyone understood what the Beis Yosef said, because I didn't present it 100% correct. So I have to add, I have to backtrack a little bit. The basic answer was okay. It wasn't so terrible, but there was a nekuda that I almost read into the Beis Yosef. I was reading something that wasn't really there. So I did a little bit of backtrack yesterday. Let's see if we just put it back into perspective. So the basic thrust of the Beis Yosef's text was the way we presented it, in the sense that ultimately what changes for the Riff and for the Ram and the Rosh is we introduce the principle of Biyado. Now, once we introduce the principle of Biyado, so then we're comfortable invoking the Gemara in Zvachim Naf Lamed Aleph that says, well, once it's Biyado, then there's no Dichoy. There's no Dichoy by Kabbonis, there's no Dichoy by Nir V'Nirchen, no Dichoy by Dachwit. Across the board, Biyado, Mamash trumps everything. So Imtim Zalayim, that Biyado can be invoked, can be planted into our sugya, that is going to salvage all the problems. The only problem is, but the Gemara didn't have Biyado. The Gemara didn't talk about Biyado. So it's very nice for the Rambam and the Rosh to sit back, theoretically, you know, philosophize, that Biyado would solve the problems, but if it's such a great teretz, why doesn't it make its big presentation in the sugya itself? So up until now, we're correct. This is where I went off a little bit. So I said that the reason why, according to the Beis Yosef, the reason why the Gemara ignores Biyado and the Rosh and the Rambam discovered Biyado is because, after all, the Gemara in Zvachim wasn't even sure about Biyado, and maybe our Gemara was just ignoring Biyado, and at the end of the day, when the Gemara discovers Biyado, so Taka, we could discover Biyado here as well. That's why I presented the Beis Yosef, which may be true according to others, but that's not what the Beis Yosef himself says. So I have to retract that point. The Beis Yosef writes that the reason why Biyado doesn't appear in our sugya, and the reason why the Rambam and the Rosh were comfortable to invoke Biyado, is for the following reason. Because what was the hesitation of Biyado? It's not like I said yesterday that Biyado wasn't on the radar screen. Biyado was on the radar screen. The Gemara knew about Biyado from day one. Why was the Gemara having and hoing and hesitating to apply Biyado? What's the deficiency in this Biyado? Everybody say, remember Tais, remember the Rosh. What's the problem with Biyado here? Is that it's what? Is that you're not allowed to do it. It's also to do it. Now, pluck the Invehadas. So that's where the Gemara was shying away from invoking Biyado. So what changed? What was the grandiose change? What changes is the next sugya. What changes is the Gemara says in the Ba'am Lam Gimel Beis that sometimes it is permissible to pluck the Invehadas. Sometimes. Now, we don't know yet all the details of this, but just say it very, very quickly. If your goal is to take off the Anovim, not to be Machshid Hadas, but rather what? Anyone know why it could possibly be mutter to take off the Inve Hadas? If you want to eat the Anovim, so Gemara says that's okay. Why is that okay? Are you fixing the Hadas? That starts off already. That's where the next three sugyas. That question is going to take us till the final. How is that mutter? Isn't that a dove? It's a dove shed of miskaven. Is it a psikreishal nichle? Drisus? Everything that we have to talk about on the bottom of Lama Gimel Bay is revolving around those basic terms in the Chushab Sinyon, the Tav Hashem Miskavein, Psik Reishas, Rabbi Shimon, Psik Reishas, the Nichle, Psik Reishas, the Lichade, the Reishas, the Rabbanon, Wonder, Reishas, Wonder. There's a lot of stuff out there. That's going to make up the next week and a half of Shiurim. But for our purposes right now, in order to salvage the Rambam and the Rosh, all we have to say, says the Beis Yosef, is that there's a way to do it b'heter. If there's a way to do it b'heter, then it falls into the category of Biyado. And the Gemara didn't know that heter yet, because the Taka took a lot of time. Rav Ashi had to discover that heter. The Gemara discovered that heter in Lama Gimel Beis. The Gemara was not comfortable with that yet. So until we get to the bottom of Lama Gimel Beis, the Gemara didn't realize it's Biyado. Since the Gemara didn't realize that there's a heter, it didn't realize it's Biyado. If it didn't realize it's Biyado, then there's a Dichay problem. Once we discover America, that there's a head to do it, then it becomes biyado. Once it's biyado, it's always biyado. There's no more dichlet. So again, so I apologize. The basic truth of the Torah was correct. We presented it properly, that the Beis Yosef produces biyado, but the nekud that I said, that the reason why biyado didn't make its beginning of the sugya, because it didn't exist yet, that's not what the Beis Yosef says. But I said, maybe correct, according to other Rishonim, maybe other biyurim, it may come back to us, what I said yesterday, but in terms of presenting the Beis Yosef, so I have to retract from that. The emesis, says the Beis Yosef, is we did know about biyado, which we didn't realize that this is a proper application of biyado, because we didn't realize that it's possible to do it ahead. So good, so that's terrace number one. So back to the drawing board, we have on the one hand, we have the Gemara, where the best the Gemara can come up with is that Dichle Meikara is kosher, and yet we have the Rambam and the Rosh who are willing to go the extra mile and saying Afilo Nira Benitcha kosher. And we have to understand, how does this work? So Pshat number one is Beis Yosef, which basically revolves around the other. Not to be outdone by the Beis Yosef, on the side of the tour is the Bach. Comes the Bach and he says, I'm going to give you an entirely different answer. Forget the Yodo, forget the Gemara in Zevachim, forget it. Let's read the Gemara. What the Gemara itself says. What does the Gemara say? Gemara says, we don't know yet. She hates a mitzvah, it's angel mitzvah. Wow. And we bekoshi were poshet that Dichei Beikar is okay. Nir v'nitcha. Did we conclude that it's a problem? Did we really prove beyond the shadow of a doubt that yesh dichoy by nir v'nitcha? Did we? Did we prove it? What did we end up, in a sense, doing? Lo tivshon, we threw up our hands, in effect, equivalent of a tekel. We don't really know what the din is. What do you do when you have a tekel? Tekel is a suffix. What do you do when you have a tekel? So the answer is, what do you do when you regularly have a suffix in halacha? So we know the klolim. Suffix derai sil chumra. Suffix derabanan lekula. Right? Says the Bach, this particular question that we're dealing with, the hadas that was a nira v'nitcha, that now we have to declare as a suffix whether it's kosher or not, to what extent may it be possible? Imtim salav to des dichoy, in this case, nira v'nitcha, just how possible is it? Is it possible d'araisa, or is it possible d'rabanan? Is the din, or the potential din, the possible din of dichay etz mitzvahs, is that a posel on level of deraisa, or is that only a posel on level of derabanan? Now, the original halacha of dichay is clearly a din in HaTorah. How do I know that? How do we start off the sugya? What was it? How do we open up the sugya of dichay? We quoted a what? For the posel. What was the posel? Who remembers? The opposite, by a whole razzle dazzle to the Torah. To show the mock or based on the words in Yuma, the mock of the dinam of Dichoy. So Dichoy in the realm of Kabbalah is for sure the Araisa, but the potential extrapolation to mitzvahs, one could argue, the whole suffix of the Gemara was only on a level of the Rabbanan. On a level of the Araisa, there never was a din of Dichoy. On a level of the Araisa, it wasn't even Lo Yitochei, there should be a din of Dichoy, it was a Shal Dichoy. First of all, am I in the mitzvah, it's a courtship? So it could be that the whole Shaila mitchila v'yatzoif was only a shayla on the level of the Rabbanan. What's the advantage of this, says the Bach? If it was only a shayla on the level of the Rabbanan, so when we come to the conclusion that we don't know what the din is, so we don't think, good, so Zion says, wipe the suffix. Good, it's only a psul Rabbanan, by suffix Rabbanan Lekula. So says the Bach, that's the reason why the Rambam and the Rosh were comfortable pasketing. Not that the Gemara missed a piece of information, not that we introduced a new klal of Yadu, not that everything changed at the bottom of Lama Gimel Beis. Nothing changed. The Gemara is right that we don't know what the answer is, and the Rambam and the Rosh are right because they're writing Sefer Halach and Tosh. We don't know what the din is, and it's still Kosh Kasafet Yabar Lekula. Now, this pshat of the Bach, that everything is based on Tzveika Yabar Lekula, is presupposing two things. It's presupposing that this is the type of a Sufek that lends itself to Tzveika Yabar Lekula. Could one question that? Could one argue that? Could one question the Bach's facts? Everybody, what's wrong or what's different about this suffix than regular Sfeik Darbar Lekula? We need some guys to wake up a little bit. What's different about this? What's the characteristic of this suffix that doesn't appear by regular Sfeik Darbar Lekula? Is this analogous to a regular, plain, and simple suffrage? Give me a suffrage around the cool that you know of. Oh, so first of all, this is a suffrage in did. It's not a suffrage in mitzias. That's number one. But it's almost worse than just a suffrage in did. It's almost a suffrage, shalom nitan what? To be patient. It means, Chazal told us, we don't have the kelim to be patient to Shiloh. We don't know Chazal, Ravina Rabashi threw the hands and says, we don't know what the din is. So do we have a right to imply, to apply suffik Jabbar Makula, the situation where Chazal themselves weren't sure what the halacha is? Maybe this is the type of a suffik that remains misfaker, remains also. Suffik Jabbar Makula can't apply here. That's a big machlekes of Rishayim. So you're going to have to check a whole shot, check a lot of cases in halacha, whether those Rishonim, the Ram and the Rush, buy into that principle that Suffolk Jabbar Lekula applies to Suffolk of Tekus, not so simple at all. There may be other statements in Rambam's that don't buy into that. So that's going to be a long research paper to figure out what is the din. You have to go through every case of Tekus and Shas and see, does the Rambam paskin every Suffolk Jabbar Lekula in those cases? Not so partial at all. But the Bach is entering into a very, very controversial territory. But there's something else controversial about the Bach, something very, very mechudish about the Bach. He was assuming what? He's assuming it's not a Drabbanan. He's assuming that the entire sugya of Dichoy is only a Chumra mid Drabbanan. I mean, that Toivet is Zichino thing called Dichoy. What do you think about that? You mean, so you're explaining the Bach, you're saying, Kabbalah is Kabbalah, mitzvahs are mitzvahs. That's what you're saying. You're defending the Bach.
No.
You're arguing the Bach.
I mean, the source is by Korbanos, and we're learning out from the source,
which is called the source. Okay, that's the Chiddush that the Bach is saying. That he's thinking, the Bach is arguing that it's not really the right, it's not really the same as Kabbalah. It was Ke'en Kabbalah, Tiknu the Rabban and Ke'en Kabbalah. I want to write from the Gemara. Go read the Gemara. You open up the Gemara, I'm giving him the Daf, the Gemara's a Shaila. What's the din? Yesh tichlatz mitzvah tichlatz. We have this Hadas. What was the original case? Niktam Roshay, right? Give me the case. No, chaz for a second. Come on, give me the case. Niktam Roshay, also but tomorrow. Yidron Yontif, every Yontif, depending on yourselves, Rashi Balamor. So we have a case of Niktam Roshay, but also but tomorrow. The Gemara wants to know, what's the din? Yesh tichlatz mitzvah. According to the Bach, the suffix of the Gemara in the case of Niktam Roshay was never really, is it possible in Hatera? That was Yaduam the first of Avad, that's Kashim and Atarah. The worst that Niktam could be, the worst could be, maybe it's possible with the Rabban. Maybe. Hold Yesh Dichoy, so maybe it's possible with the Rabban. But in that Torah, it wasn't even Olal Adas that it should be possible, right? So far, so good? Now what? What comes next in the Gemara? What was the Gemara's Raya? What? Kisi Adam. We must say, bring your rifle, Kisi Adam. After all, I shechted this bird, and the blood is sitting on the floor, and now the wind comes and covers over the blood. And now the wind comes and uncovers the blood. What's the din? What do I have to do? I still have to do Kisi Adam. Zemin from da, you see from here, that ain't diche eitzel mitzvahs. That was the Gemara's raya. What's kasha? If the Gemara knew from day one that the din of Dichoy was only on a level of the Rabbana, how is it Oyla al Hadas, should be the Amorim, that you're going to use Dichoy to pati you from a mitzvah deraisa? Here the Gemara thought that Yesh Dichoy it's a mitzvah is going to exempt you from doing Kisi Adam. That's crazy, doesn't make any sense. If Yesh Dichoy, even Zalzain, even the worst case scenario that Yesh Dichoy it's a mitzvah, if the Gemara knew it was only Midrabban, as the Bach is telling you, it was only Midrabban, and what was the Havamina Shabahavamina that it should be used to pass to you? So the Chari you see from the Gemara, from the Dimion of the Gemara, that the Gemara was bringing a Raya from Kisi Adam to Hadas, that the Gemara really thought that Dichoy is on the level of the Araisa. So the Chari, the Bach is against the Farshi Gemara. What's the answer for the Bach? What's the answer, boys? What's the answer for the Bach? That's all he wants to do. They want to tell you not to blow shofar on Shabbat. They want to tell you not to do kisi adam. It's hard to understand. Hard to understand. What?
Shiva al-Tasa?
They could. You guys are on the same team. It means they could have theoretically told you Shiva al-Tasa. Why would they have done such a silly thing? What was the purpose of that? No. When the Gemara brought that original raya from Kisi Adam, the Gemara Taka was thinking that it could be that Dichoy really is the Araisa. The Gemara did think that in the beginning of the Sugya. When did that Hanocha change, Rabbi Yisrael? When the Gemara realized that the Kisi Adam is not such a good raya, because that's Lakula, this is Lachumra, Munach and that change in the Gemara is the change in the entire attitude. The entire change, once the Gemara says, you're right, we're not Kisi Adam, don't bother with the Kisi Adam, and then the Gemara says, Kisi Adam is different because it's a Chumra, it's a Kula, then everything may change again. And the Gemara may reformulate the question, and now the Gemara realizes, you know what, Minat Torah, it's not a problem, it's only a problem with the Rabbanim. So maybe it's a guess. Maybe according to the Bach, even though that initial line was definitely deraisa dicta thinking, that's not the final line. That was a one fleeting thought in the sugya. Maybe to defend the Bach. But I'll call upon him, it's a bechudish dicta Bach, because the Gemara doesn't indicate this, that it's only the Rabbanon, and it's assuming a certain thing about tekus that's far from agreed upon. But again, Heilige Bach, another approach to the problem to defend the Ram and the Rush.
Yeah, Rashi differs.
Yeah, how do you know?
Compares it directly to the Karbanos.
I mean, the Gemara.
Shem Shem Hagatesel Karbanos.
Yeah, the Gemara uses the Losh like Karbanos, right. So the question, did Rashi mean Mamish like that? I think you're right. I think for the Gemara it sounds like it's Deraisa.
According to the Tarots, I mean, even if it's possible to get rid of the berries to Heter, this guy, it seems like this guy is doing it to Israel, because the Rush says, Ema Varva Lichthan.
Right, no, but you're right. This guy's doing it by Issa, but since there's a possibility to do better, a pidin is called the other. So by saying, could we now do something very creative and almost combine conceptually the first and second teretzim together? It sounds like at first glance, the Beis Yosef and the Bach are talking different languages. They're on the same page in the Torah, they're talking Lagami different languages. One's talking the other, one's talking Safed Deban Lakula. Nothing to do with each other. Comes Rabbi Kivega, and he says, we can make a chon, make a mixture of the two terutzim. Anyone see how you can do that? Very sharp. Very, very sharp, Rabbi Kivega. So, Rabbi Kivega, if you want to know whether the shaila of Dichoy is a deraisa derabonon, there's not a shaila about it, says Rabbi Kivega. Wow, this is a deraisa. Of course, you're right. The Gemara says, Yafidim Mikachim, Kashim is a posuk. The Gemara is Dimin 50. There's no question there's compelling evidence against the Bach's pshat. The Dichoy is most probably a din deraisa. But what, says Rabbi Kivega? Catch this one. Even though Dichoy is a din deraisa, the inability to say Dichoy on Lama Gimel Mabez in the case of Hadas, in the cases where we can't, namely Nirva Nidcha, the case of Inve Hadas is at worst only a problem of Dichoy Midrabanan. Not that the entire Dichoy is not deraisa. Dichoy is deraisa, Adil, different culture, 100%. But the application to mir in Vedas is only mid the Rabbanan. How do you have a cake and eat, Rabbi Yisrael? If you're really convinced that Dicha is deraisa, so why in Lam Gimel Beis is only mid the Rabbanan? Who's going to tell him what's the missing link, Rabbi Yisrael? What is the impediment to Dicha? Biyadah. What's the opposite of Dicha? Biyadah. Well, now I'll turn around. What is the impediment to Biyadah here? What is stopping me from saying Galat Biyadah? What is the problem? Why can't I turn the page in Lam Gimel Beis and say, what do you hakabi chaynik about miyad in viadas being dichoy zech biyadoi? What's the answer? What is the impediment? What is stopping the others from carrying today? Everybody say, what did the Ran of Kizokht? What? It's osir. How osir is it? Eben mat in viadas. Is that a nisid deraisa or nisid derabanan? Highly controversial. But for our purposes right now, we're going to follow Taisa Shi. It's only midirabanan. Why is it midirabanan? That's not really a tikkun kli. Why is it not a tikkun kli? According to Taisa says, in Maseches Sukkah, why is it not a Tikkun Shabbos? Maseches Shabbos, Kuf Gimel Amud Aleph. Taisa says that Mamatim Vedas is only Dirabon. It's not a Nisei Deraisa Bichlal. Why not? I am taking a broken Adas and I'm fixing it. It used to be Pulsar, now it's Kosher. Why is that not a Tikkun Kli Deraisa? What's the answer, Baisai?
Another one?
I have one Adas. come to Shul Sukkah this morning, it's got too many berries on it. I can't use it. The rabbi says it's possible in Atzeret to use it. I go ahead and I pluck off the berries. All you did was Chil Yontov Midrabbanan. Why isn't there ice? It's ticking clean. What's the difference between that and screwing in a leg of a chair?
It's not clean.
It's not a clean. You need a cleat for that one.
Not together.
What?
Not together.
So, I have two other kosher ones. Two kosher ones are missing my third one. Why is it not ticking clean their ice? Same because Yontov. It's not to assume their ice. I have a chair that I can't sit in, so it's you want to call it, it's fixing the chair. The bottom line is I took a dover that was not usable, made into usable. I want to know what is the difference between screwing in a leg of a chair and plucking off the berries of the dust.
Only usable for a few days.
All these answers you're giving are all classic true but irrelevance. Come on, you know what the problem with you guys are? You guys are so sharp. You think in such tayridika. I have to get out of the Beis Medrash from there. That's the problem. You guys are so in the world of the Beis Medrash. You know what you have to go to answer this question properly?
Botanist.
No, you got to go to Home Depot. That's where you got to go. Okay? Hey, well, go down Newbridge. Go to Home Depot. All right? Now, what's the answer? What do I mean by that? Who determines whether something's broken or not? Who makes the final call on broken things in Rosh Hashanah? I want to know, is this table broken or not? Who do I ask? I ask a guy with a long white beard who's sitting and learning and saying Shia Klolis and Kutchim for 50 years. That's why I ask when the table's broken. Who do I ask? Yes, the guy with the orange, you know, apron. You know, his name is Bob. He's 6'6". You know, he's carrying a big plank, so it isn't. Bob, is this thing broken? Of course it's broken. How do you fix it? You screw it in. Bob, what do you think about this this myrtle branch? It's got a couple of berries in it. It looks pretty broken to me. So Bob says, ready in mind, there's nothing wrong with that. Myrtle branch. What's wrong with a myrtle branch? A couple of berries on it. Bob, I can't use it for dollar meeting. Says, dollar who? You know what they say? Says the Mechaz Chinuch, why is Biat in Vyadas on the Midrabonan? Because to be a tikkun in Hilchah Shabbos, Hilchah Shabbos, and catch this one, Hilchah Shabbos doesn't depend on halacha. Hilchah Shabbos depends on who? On Bob. Depends on Home Depot. Depends on the world. The Goyisha world of the handyman determined what's called the Tikkun and Shabbos, not the Rabbonim and the Tamid Chum sitting in the Beis Medrash. Hilchah Shabbos is the function of Olam Hazeh, not a function of Olam Haba. Hopefully we're going to talk about that in great, great detail later on. That's the third of the three sugyas about Lamed Gimel Lamed Beis, about Mir Din Ve'Adas, but we'll get to that hopefully. Rabbi Kivegu is assuming, like that Tosis, that Mir Din Ve'Adas is only Mid Rabban. If the Yisr of Mir Din Ve'Adas is only Mid Rabban, it turns out that the Isser, that terrible impediment to the principle of Biyodah, that which is preventing Biyodah from carrying today, is not really a Deraisa Dikka problem, it's only a Derabban Dikka problem. If so, if you'd ask Meish Rabbeinu, I have this Hadas in front of me, and I want to know, Moshe Rabbeinu, it was near the Nitcha. Right, listen to this. Moshe Rabbeinu is sitting in the Midbar, I'm showing you this Adas. It's Gevaldi Shrig in the worst case scenario. What happened with Chazar again? It was green berries when Yonta started. The berries turned black in the middle of the night. And then what happened? And then somebody plucked off the berries. It was a near the Nitcha. Yes, Moshe Rabbeinu, what's the story with this Adas? Is this kosher or not? What is Moshe Rabbeinu saying? So I present the Shah and I say, I want to know, you came down from Arsin and you told me there's a din of Dichoy. It's a drasha from Balmud, there's a parsha from Dichoy, and now I'm sitting here, I don't know, does that parsha of Dichoy apply to mitzvahs or not? So Moshe Rabbeinu says, of course it applies to mitzvahs. What's the shaila? But what? Who says what? Who says what, Rabbi Say? This is not Dichoy Bechlau. Why does Moshe Rabbeinu look like I'm crazy when I start to apply Dichoy today? So Mir Din Ve'Adas. What does he say to me, no? Quotes the Gemara in Zvachim Daf Lamed Gimel. Lamed Aleph. He says, Biyadai. You never learn Zvachim. You didn't go to Brisk. Lamed Aleph Beis Zvachim. Biyadai trumps Dichoy. So I turn around to Moshe Rabbeinu and I say, no! This is Nish Biyadai. Why? Who do I quote against Moshe Rabbeinu? I quote a Tais in Iran. I say, it's not Biyadai. You know why? Because it's what? Because it's Osir. So who does Moshe Rabbeinu quote? Who's he quote? No, he quotes. No, who does he quote? 6'6". Calls Bob. And Bob the builder. Bob the builder says, this is not, there's nothing broken with this. There's no issue of tikkun mana min haTorah on this. And therefore, Moshe Rabbeinu says, I consulted with Baal, the expert, he told me there's no tikkun mana here. So therefore, min haTorah is a classic biyadoi. If it's biyadoi, there's nishkin dichoi. But wait a second. But we live in a world, not a Moshe Rabbeinu, we live in a world that the chomum is sakin, that there's tikkun mana even on halachic tikkunim. Because people get confused. You guys all got confused. If people get confused, if I let the guy fix the Inve Hadas, next thing you know, he's going to shoo in the leg of the table. So, but the Rabban Chazal Misakin ain't a matin. As I stated in Mishkan Sukkah, sometime within the days of Meshach Ben, Avivda Nasi, somebody said, ain't a matin. But Beis Din sat down one day in Lishkas HaGozis and decided, ain't a matin Inve Hadas Biyamtif. It's Chazal Institute that you're not allowed to be Mamait, then it loses what aspect to it? It's no longer what? It's no longer. Once there's a Tekonis Chacham, I'm not allowed to be reminded. What is it no longer now? It's no longer Biyodah. Once it's no longer Biyodah, what is it? Now it's Dochli. But is that a potential Deraisa problem, potential Derabonim problem? It's only a Derabonim problem. Because mid Deraisa, it's Tacha Biyodi. So comes with Kveger and says, at the end of the day, this Hadas is only a Derabonim take a potential soul. Not like the Bach said that the whole din of Dichli is only mid Derabonim. In fact, something from Kivega, but I'm just becharifus from Kivega. Here, this goinus from Kivega. This particular case is only a derabbanan dikah problem because the love of their eyes you're covered based on biyadoi. So he very neatly combined together the Beis Yosef biyadoi and the Bach sveget derabbanan lekula. So now we have this hadas in front of us, and on a yes, Moshe Rabbeinu, we said that hadas is kosher anyway because there's no dikah because biyadoi carries today. But we have to now we ask Rabbi Dan also if they ask the Heilige Tanoim who already had this iser derabbanan of emimata biyadoi. Which set the whole wheels into motion. Once there's an Issur Rabbanan of Emimata Biyantif, then it's no longer a classic Biyantif. Now it's back to what? Back to square one of what? Of it's a Shail of Dichoy. But guess what? We don't even know it's a problem of Dichoy. Why? Because we have no idea what the Dichoy really applies to what? We don't know, is there really a problem of Dichoy by mitzvahs? At least by what? By Nir and Nirchim, we're not sure. We don't really know. So we have a suffix. And what's the nature of the suffix? Is it a suffix derais or suffix derabbanan? What's the answer? It's only derabbanan. Not derabbanan like the Bach said because dichri is derabbanan. It's only derabbanan because min haTorah we solved the dichri problem by based on the yado. I ask you, did everyone figure that out on your own? Everyone chap Rebbe Kivega. This is like class Rebbe Kivega. So it's derabbanan. All right, Savi Rabbanan Lekula, because the Derais it's Biyadoi. Now these are very, very sharp answers. These are almost like extra Gemara answers. If you read the Gemara, you wouldn't see any of this. Biyadoi doesn't even appear in Asugya. Sveika Rabbanan Lekula, the Gemara doesn't say how it does. Not talking about a paskin, so that term doesn't appear in the Gemara. The Kivega's combination, Zicha doesn't appear in the Gemara. You have two Gedolei Acharonim. We'll go back to the drawing board and try to defend the psach of the Rosh and the Rambam with less fanciness, less invoking new principles, new chidushim of Sveikat Abalakulos, which combines with Biyados, with Maisala. Just in the Gemara, text of the Gemara itself, proofs that even though at first glance the Abarim sound like they reject the to be poshut the Shiloh, in the heart of hearts, Chazal themselves were already pushing the Shiloh. That the Gemara is a little bit misleading. When the Gemara presents that Tiboyelach, we don't know, that's not really true. If you know how to read in between the lines of the text of the Gemara, not invoking new Chidushim, but the text of the Gemara, you'll notice that the Amorim themselves probably were Makel also, and that's going to become the source for the Psach of the Ram and the Rosh. What are those factors? We have to see. The first three Terutzim, I couldn't have even expected anyone here to guess, because you needed a. You needed Beis Yosef, you needed Bach, you needed Rikivegas, you needed a lot of Harifas. The next ones, you can look in the Gemara itself. In the Gemara itself, you can think that you can probably figure it out. Comes the Taz. And says, just read the Gemara. Go back to the Lama Gemara now. Starts with Boy Rabbi Yirmiya. V'tifshul Lemeha from Kisi Adam. V'yamara Papa. The Papa was the one who made that phrase, who said that phrase, Zeisei Meres, from the Sugya of Kisi Adam, from the fact that the Mishnah and Rabbi Yechanan tell us that in Kisi Adam, you still have to repeat the Kisi Adam, even though at one point it was Nidcha. Zay say Meres, Amar Papa Zay says, this teaches us Ein Dichaita Mitzkis. So the Gemara first thought that what was the Zay say Meres? This is a raya that Taka Ein Dichaita Mitzkis, Ben Kulu Ben Lechumra. And then the Gemara backpedaled a little bit and said, no. The Rav Papa Gufi come and violate. We're not sure what Rav Papa meant. What does the Gemara say? Maybe what Rav Papa meant was, well, it's Chazer, it's going inside, guys. What does the Gemara say? What did Rav Papa mean? When Rav Papa said, Zay say Meres and Dichay to Mitzvahs, maybe he meant, we can't use Dichay what? Why? I can't hear. Lakula, you can't use Dichay to exempt you from Kisi Adam, but Ken Zayn, that maybe Dichay is Lechumra, we can pass on the Hadas. So the Gemara wasn't sure what Rav Papa meant in that phrase of Zay say Meres and Dichay to Mitzvahs. And at the end of the day, the Gemara never is pashet. At the end of the day, the Gemara never concludes. If you were sitting in Rav Papa's yeshiva and you heard those words emanating from your yeshiva's mouth, Zay say Meres, this teaches me Ein Dichaita Mitzvahs. What do you think that meant? What kind of a lashon is it? What kind of a lingo is that? That's a lashon of I'm not really sure and I'm guessing and I hope for the best? Or does that sound like a commitment? What does it sound like? Very strong, deep conviction of Ein Dichaita Eitzah Mitzvahs. Comes a Taz and says, there is no question under the sun that Rav Papa personally held what? Ein Dichaita Eitzah Mitzvahs. No shyla about it. Otherwise, he never would have said such a thing. He should have said, Misafek Chayav L'chasos. Make sure without a bracha, we're not really sure if the Safed Derais L'chumah. He should have given us a very, very non-committal, very powerful, half-baked reason to do Kisi Adam. Zay Se Meres is much more powerful than that. So there's no question what Rav Papa held. So why doesn't the Gemara just take Rav Papa at face value and say, good, we were pushing the Shaila. Rav Papa was not the end all. Rav Papa was only an Amoira. Rabbi Yirmiyah was entitled to a suffer. Rabbi Yirmiyah says, I don't find Rav Papa. Rabbi Yirmiyah, first of all, was older than Rav Papa. He lived 100 years before Rav Papa. So Rabbi Yirmiyah lived in Eretz Yisrael. He's sitting and being mafalpa in Eretz Yisrael. What's the din? Is yesh tichay, ain't tichay. You're going to be right from Rav Papa, lived 300 years later in Buffalo. The Gemara says, no. But we don't even show exactly the significance of Rav Papa's statement. So Rabbi Yirmiyah is still tied up to have a suffix. But in the end of the day, what did Rav Papa really hold? He for sure held Ein Dichaita Mitzvahs. Comes to Taz and says, for the style, for the flow of the Gemara, it was necessary in order for the Gemara to keep Rabbi Yirmiyah's Ibaya alive, the Gemara had to be Deicher Rav Papa and say, no, not a Raya. But when all the dust settles and it's time for the Rishonim to write Piskei Halacha, so the Rambam and the Rosh are writing 500 years after the Gemara's over and trying to sort this all out, the Halacha, and they're trying to collect the data and trying to figure out how should we write as a psak halacha? What do they have to go on? They have two Amoraim who waited on the topic. The Yesh Tichay or Ein Tichay. One of the Amoraim said what? One of the Amoraim said with absolute, complete, confidence that what? Ein Tichay to Mitzvahs. Bein Lekula Bein Lechumra. That's what Rav Papa said. No question about it. And the other Hilagamar was Rabbi Yirmiyah who wasn't committed. When you write a say from Sech Halacha, one Amoraim was absolutely committed, the other one didn't disagree, just said I'm not sure. As a general rule in Psach, as ain't Suffolk most of the Nevati, if some of the Amoraim were convinced about something, that's enough for me to go on. For me to write a say in the days that we shared him to Paskin, like for Papa, I have no qualms, no problems. Therefore the Taz said, from the Gemara itself, it's clear from the words of Rav Papa that the Emes Lamito is, Chazal were really, really pointing in the direction that Ein Dichaita Mitzvahs, notwithstanding the suffix, the lo ifshita of Rabbi Yirmiyah. So the Gemara played the game with Rabbi Yirmiyah all the way to Lama Gimel Mabez. They let Rabbi Yirmiyah lead us down the path of suffix, because it made for a good lumdus on the Lama Gimel Mabez, but in the heart of hearts, the Sigya ended in the beginning of Lama Gimel Mabez. The Sigya was done, was complete and finished and ready for Psach Halacha within the words of Rav Papa. At the end of the day, the Taz says, Rav Papa carries the day. Says the Bir HaGra, along the lines of the Taz, with a slightly different twist, says the Gra, I'm going to show, I'm going to prove to you, from Mineu Gindusugi, this is a very Gra style. The Gra was medak every word, every nuance, every line, every kash, every letter in the Gemara. The Gra didn't want to bring in some external factors of biyadas and maisalach with sfeikatav and lakulas and charifas of kivegas. The Gra read every inside the Gemara itself. All you have to read is lam gimel laf and amaze, and you yourself will come to the conclusion, like the Rambam and the Rosh. What is it internally inside the Gemara that's going to force our hands. It's a throwback that we started this year. When did we start this year? When did we start this year? Thursday? Yes, definitely. Okay. Thursday we started. Now, what is it about the sugya that just leads us to honestly believe that ein dicha etz mitzvos? What's the latest hasafik of the Gemara? If you have to, just tell me, concretize, what is the latest hasafik? Tell me what the point of doubt in the sugya is. Sum it up in one line. Ein dicha, ein dicha. What's the point of it? I want a little bit more. You're right, but a little bit more. What's the heart and soul of the suffix? That's the heart and soul of the suffix. Is by kachim, we know this bit of yichud. That's the psukim. That's drashas, gemuras. The heart and soul is this an equation or an inequality? That's the real channel, right? Now again, the Bach went so far as to say it's only a suffix level of Rabbanim, but we don't think that's Muskim at all. The more simple pshat is that's a real subtle level there. So mitzvahs are similar to kachim in certain aspects. The avodas Hashem, on the other hand, clearly different. Say the kachim is not say the maye. There are different rules that govern kachim and don't govern mitzvahs. So that was the nekudas hasafik. And let's think about the conclusion. So are mitzvahs the same as kachim or not? That's the latest asafik. Tell me the conclusion now.
We're not sure.
We're not sure? Tell me. Who says we're not sure?
Well, we know
Dichi Meikar must be good by mitzvahs because we have a Beferish Rabbi Likton Kosher, right? So that's at least Peshet Dichi Meikar. That's not negotiable anymore. We've proven beyond the Shabbat and the Gimel Beis, Dichi Meikar is okay. What's the thing by Kosher? Is Dichi Meikar good? What's the name of Kachim? Anyone know? Anyone here learn Kedusha of Zion? No one remembers Kedusha of Zion? Dicha Mekar V'dicha, you read? Hiktish Behema Shal Shnei Shutfen, right? Rings a bell. Did we learn this last year? No? Did we learn this? Last year of Zion, no? Did we learn Kedusha last year?
Yeah.
You were in the shot? Forgot. Yeah. You're with us, right? Everyone, okay? No?
V'dicha?
Yeah, V'dicha, yes. Because we didn't talk about this topic last year. We skipped it. It was a design of enough. Okay, so it was too big. The times was too long ahead. Because I knew we'd learn sukkah this year. I knew we'd have fun with it this year. Rabbi say, by kachim we pass it on a kruv, le'dichay mekar ha'vidichay. So wait a second. If we are absolutely 1,000% convinced that dichay mekara is dichay by kachim, and we are absolutely 1,000% convinced that by mitzvah's not, so what are we also 1,000% convinced of?
That they're not the same.
That they're not the same. At the end of the day, this is correct. They are not the same. If they are not the same, then just simple logic. If they're not the same, what you're basically telling me is that the parasha of Dichoy is a kachim that gets a brisket teir, has nothing to do with mitzvah durechayim. When you learn the brisket koil, you talk about Dichoy. When you learn halach lamais koil, you don't talk about Dichoy. Once you tell me that you ultimately undermine the comparison between mitzvahs and kachim, you're going to go back to the drawing board and tell me a new story that, well, in the realm of what? Let's hear it. In the realm of nirva nidcha, we can bring the shayla back again. What's the din by mitzvahs in the case of nirva nidcha? So let's say that would be a shayla. What would that shayla be in effect? Imagine that's the new shayla on the board. Is there a chesor, is there a psul of nir v'nidcha, the unresolved case in Lam Gimel Beis, so to speak, unresolved case, Lam Gimel Beis, nir v'nidcha by mitzvahs. So formulate to me the hardest, give me the kishkas of that suffix. Is there a psul, all of a sudden, in the middle of nowhere, I'd wake you up and say, is nir v'nidcha psul by mitzvahs? What would you call the heart and soul of that suffix, if I say? Where in the world would such a psul come from? If it exists, where would it have to come from? It couldn't come from anywhere else except from Brisk. It's got to come from Kachim. So you're reformulating the question and saying, is there a din of nirv nidcha by mitzvahs just like by Kachim? So what's the heart and soul of the suffix? Give me the heart and soul of the suffix again, everybody say. Give me the suffix. By Kachim, I know there's a din of nirv nidcha. By mitzvahs, I don't know. So I'm not sure. Is that right? Have we seen that kind of a suffix before? Do we equate kachim to mitzvahs? Did we see that suffix before? Yeah, we saw it on the other side of the board. And what was maskana on this one? That they're not the same. So if in Lomdus, conceptually, we've decided that there is no equation between kachim and mitzvahs, so when you reformulate the same question over again, you also have to posture there's no comparison. What kind of a logical position is it to take that vis-a-vis near v'nitche, we're not comfortable not equating kashrut to mitzvahs. Vis-a-vis dicha mekara, we are comfortable not equating them. Says the growth doesn't make any sense. If at the end of the day, the whole engine that's driving the sugya of dichli is kashrut. And the only source of any problem in Erechayim is the comparison to kashrut. But you already told me that the comparison is not valid, proof positive. Tishrut minah, filu dicha mekara has to be good. Once chazalat poishe tishrut mekara, that dicha mekara is good, by default, the other one has to be good also. By extension, the other one has to be good. So the Gemara says, when all the dust settles, the position that the Gemara presents at Abba Beis is not a tenable position. It's logically not tenable. And therefore, the Rambam and the Rosh said, once at the end of the day, where Pesach had half the Shaila, the other half has to go as well. It's Mamamshach. You can't walk this tightrope. If you believe kachim and mitzvahs are the same, then it's got to be dicha across the board. If you believe that kachim and mitzvahs are not the same, then you have to just ignore dicha. You can't have a cake and eat it. So when all the dust settles, Rabbi say, all the dust settles, the Rambam and the Rosh came to the conclusion that what is the din? The din is that there's tapen no dicha and mitzvahs at all. Now, there's a weak point. I can't even say the word weak. There's a rough point in the Gross Pshat. What's the rough point? It's so compelling what the Gross saying that what?
I didn't want to say.
How come the Gemara didn't say? How come the Gemara didn't say it? How come the Gemara left us hanging? Let me give them a piece. If it's so logic, again, if you wouldn't have read the Gemara, I would have told this Gross. You said, of course the Gross is right. That's how the Gemara didn't say. Didn't the Gemara realize that the two are so tali zebezeh? The only tali zebezeh, if one piece of information is right. What's that one piece of information?
The reason it doesn't matter is because you can't apply kabbalah to mitzvahs.
Yeah, but that seems to be right.
Reason why.
We're saying dicha mekara by mitzvahs is for sure not a problem. That was not negotiable. That's a very sure. Mishnah, Bryce, and Lipton, Kosher, finished. Dicha Mekara is not negotiable. So we thought, Dicha Mekara is not a problem. That's a dead giveaway that Kosher mitzvahs are not the same. Right? Is there any other possible way to explain why there's no problem with Dicha Mekara by mitzvahs? That wouldn't lead us down that path? Is there any other way to explain why Dicha Mekara ben Mitzvahs would not pose a problem and not commit ourselves to the inequality between Kosher and Mitzvahs? Who here didn't learn Kedushin Dev Zayin? Who here doesn't remember that we learned Kedushin Dev Zayin last year? Does everybody hold Dicha Mekara have a Dicha Bekachim? Not necessarily. There may be dissenting views on that one. There may be some who hold that even by kachim, dicha mekara is not a problem. How does that change the whole equation here? It changes everything. Because if you hold that dicha mekara is not a problem by kachim, then of course it's not a problem by mitzvahs, and maybe that's what the Gemara meant of a base. Just because we have documented that there's no dicha mekara by mitzvahs, that doesn't necessarily mean the inequality. What it may mean is that there's no dicha mekara by mitzvahs, guess what? Because there's no dicha mekara by kachim either. So the Gemara Amud Beis is leaving open the possibility that maybe kachim mitzvahs are the same. And if they are the same, what possibility still exists? If the equation is still there, it's still possible, then by nir v'nitcha, it could be it's a problem. By mitzvahs, and that's why the Gemara says lo tifshot. Kol zman that you could learn pshat, that there's no dicha by mitzvahs because dicha mekara doesn't apply by kachim, then you're not married to the inequality. You're not committed to the inequality. And once you're not committed to the inequality, then you could walk away from the sugya and saying, Vichim Ekar is okay by mitzvahs, like Pekotchim. Nirvin Nidcha is no good by mitzvahs, like Pekotchim. That's why the Gemara leaves it hanging. What the Gra says is, but we know, we already learned Kedushin of Zayin. We already know Dichim Ekar Havi Dichim Ekotchim. So we who know that Dichim Ekar Havi Dichim Ekotchim, and still we paskin by mitzvahs, no, we are the one who have created the inequality. Once we've accepted that inequality, then we go back to the drawing board and say, well, if there's no equation between the two, then there can't be an equation by Nirvi Dichim either, and that's exactly what the Rambam and the Rosh says. Therefore, we must paskin that there's no Dichim Ekar Mitzvahs altogether. So the Gra's Gevaldik, the Rambam and the Rosh are Gevaldik, and the Gemara's Gevaldik. The Gemara just left us hanging because there was a possibility out there to split between Nidcha and versus Dichim Ekar, but that possibility to split is only true if the split exists in Kachim. If the split exists in Kachim, then it could by extension exist in Mitzvahs. But if you believe there's no split in Kachim, like at the end of the day we pass, there is no split in Kachim. So once it doesn't exist, split is not true by Kachim, then it can't be true by Mitzvahs. And once we know Dichim Ekar is okay by Mitzvahs, then by extension Nidcha has to be Kachim by Mitzvahs as well. That's the Vart of the Gra. Everyone follows this going. This is a going. This is a Gra. So at the end of the day, says the Gra, what forces the Ram and the Rosh into the position is ultimately Ein Ledamos Mitzvahs. So again, Rabbi said, Habaycha Yivchar, five G'dayle G'ayne Oilam, the greatest of the Echareinim. Each one has a beer in this Psach of the Rishonim. Bishayse focuses on Biyadu alone. Bach focuses on Svekter ben Lekula. The Kivay combines the two. The Taz brought an internal raya from the Gemara of Papa. And the Gra says he has an internal raya from the ultimate lumdus that the latest Asafik, once the latest Asafik is nifshut one way, it's got to help us in the other cases. Okay? Everyone figured it out? Five ways, five Urim, Gedali, Gedali, Acharenim. Each one, their own way of analyzing the Sheet and the Shay. Yeah.
According to the logic of the Gra, he'd be saying, if you say it's an inequality, that means none of the aspects can be the same. That's what they'd be saying.
That's what was said.
Why do we have to take that step?
Once you tell me Dicha is exist, a Kotzim Kotzim, it doesn't apply to me. It's a Hechatesis. Sometimes it does, sometimes it doesn't.
Why can't we say that?
The question is not a dicha. The question is, are mitzvahs the same as kachim or not? So you have to be consistent. Either it is or it's not. It's only when you want it, not when you don't want it to be.
No, you test that.
Are mitzvahs kachim? Just tell mitzvahs kachim or not?
No.
Good. That's it. You answered the question. Good. You're ready for a bris. Mitzvah not kachim. Good. Okay. Who's ready for the next part of the sugya? So, let's say you have another aspect, another angle of the sugya now. It's a fascinating Shalom Rishonim, a very tragic Shalom Rishonim, but a fascinating in terms of lumdus, tragic in terms of practical application. That's a point that the Rosh himself brings up at the very end of Maseches Makotan, a running major machlokes he had with his own Rebbe, his Rebbe Meir with the Maram Rutenberg. The Rosh was a Talmid Muvok of the Maram Rutenberg. When the Maram Rutenberg was thrown to jail at the end of his life because the Goyim were, as they were usually doing in the Middle Ages, trying to get every last penny out of the Jews. So the Maram Rutenberg, tried to protect the Jewish community against some of the Ganovim, some of the dukes and the Schever who were trying to milk every penny out of the poor Jews. So Maram Rutenberg tried to stand up for the Jews and got stood up already, ended up thrown to jail for the rest of his life. And then some, he ended up in jail for many years after his death also because he refused to let the Jewish community ransom him. Because he felt that they'll ransom him, so then they'll just steal the next person. So we said, let him die in jail. And then many, many years later, finally, some rich Sephardi Jew actually ransomed him, and they were able to bury him. So when the Rosh saw what happened to his Rebbe, he decided it's time to leave Germany, so he ran away to Spain, became the Rav in Toledo, and eventually everything was Mol Mina Shemayim, because the Tor, who was his son, grew up in Germany and in Spain, so he was able to merge the world of Ashkenaz and the Sephardim, and the Tor ultimately was the first Sefer in Halacha. They really merged the two different reservoirs together into one. So the Rosh, in Maseches Makotan, quotes a machlokes that he had with his own Rebbe, the Maram Rutenberg, about the following very tragic Kishayla. And eventually has serious impact application to SOB. Shayla was as follows. Kosov Rabbeinu Meirzal, Misha Meis Abba V'Imo, Vayakotan Be'osisho. Person, Rechman Litzlan, loses a parent, and the child who loses the parent is still under the age of Bar Mitzvah. under the age of Bar Bas Mitzvah, there's no Avelus. The Ikra did, of course, that's not Chayav Mitzvah, does not keep anything. And there's no Chinuch, according to Moshe Shem, there's no Chinuch for Avelus also. Why is there no Chinuch for Avelus? It's Chinuch for Sukkot, Tzitzis, Kiddush, Tatsa. Why is there no Chinuch for Avelus? Just as an aside. I don't know why. Oh, so it's machlekes ha'acharonim. Why does the chiddush happen? One day, Hashem says there is chinuch for avelus, but most of the rishonim assume not. In Shulchan Aruch, we assume there's no chinuch for avelus. So the acharonim have different reasons why. So some acharonim write, chinuch is only for mitzvahs that we want in the child. We want to get this kid into the spirit of eating matzah and hearing the shofar, hearing kiddush, etc. Avelus, the last thing we want to do is to train the person. Let's get you already excited. Wow, you can become an oval when you turn by mitzvah. That's not the goal. And the Shach has a difference. The Shach says there really should have been Avelus. Avelus for a child would have meant you have to keep the kid home from school because an Avel is not allowed to learn Torah. So we have Im Bivatlin to Dokash Beis Ram Filu Bin Beis Hamikdash. To take a kid out of school, take a kid, they shouldn't come to Yeshiva. It's a terrible thing. Terrible, terrible thing. People take it so lightly. That's like about, you know, what's the big deal? We'll take the kid on vacation. We'll take the kid, you know, we're going away for Yom Tov, so we'll leave a week early, come back a week late. So even for the Bin Beis Hamikdash, you're not allowed to do that. The Shach said that Chazal was so worried about the Mevatlin Torah of Tzino Shabbos Rabban that they said, you know what, we don't want to keep the kid home from school because keeping him from school, it's going to be a terrible mikshol. Send him to school anyway. Once you're sending him to school, he's sitting and learning, you're going to tell him to take his shoes off. He said, either he avails, nisht avails. So once they couldn't institute the mitzvah of avails in its entirety, so maybe they said, forget it, there's no chinuch for avails. So different reasons why. The Maaseh says no chinuch for avails. So it comes to Mar Mutterberg and says, but this kid, Nebuch lost his relative 2 days before his bar mitzvah. So now, when he turns bar mitzvah, what happens? So does he begin avelus at that point, or do we say, for lack of a better term, since he couldn't observe avelus when he was a child under the age of bar mitzvah, so forget this avelus doesn't. So that's the shaila that the Mar Mutterberg presents. So he tries to bring a raya from Hilchos Avelus proper. He says, what's in the Hilchos Avelus? A strange thing that when the avelus is supposed to start, it can't start. There's an impediment, something blocking, something preventing it from starting. Can avelus almost start at a later point? Because there's such a concept of avelus that in its inception it couldn't get off the ground and somehow got off to a rough start, but 2-3 days later, 5 days later, it can begin in full force. Does that concept exist in avelus or not? So, anyone know? Do we have a model of avelus that the avelus starts later? Something. First, this kovah makes it beregel. The Mishnah says in Makotan that if a person buries his mace before Yontif, the person in the middle of Shiva, Yontif cancels Shiva. Why does Yontif cancel Shiva? Because the mitzvah, simple as Yontif, is a mitzvah shel Rabbim. The mitzvah of Avelus is a mitzvah shel Yochid. Rabbim is more important than Yochid. So the Rabbim overrides the Yochid. That's only if the Avelus started beforehand. So whatever stage of Avelus the person was up to, if he was in the middle of Shiva, Yontif cancels Shiva. If he was in the middle of Shloshim, Yontif cancels Shloshim. If he's in the middle of your Beis Chodesh, Yontif doesn't cancel your Beis Chodesh. Why? How can you cancel your Beis Chodesh? There's no such thing as every Yontif has. Every Yid Beis Chodesh has a lot of Yom Tov. So obviously that's the exception to the rule. But Shiva Shleshim gets bumped out by Yontif. Whatever stage of Avelus the fellow is at. But the Mishnah says, that's only true if he started the Avelus beforehand. But if he buries his mace on Yontif, sometimes you can do, or in Chol HaMoed, which for sure you can do, so then the Avelus is put on hold. It's suspended right now. You can't observe Avelus on Yontif itself because it's simply Yontif Shel Rabim. But the Avelus is not cancelled because it didn't start. The whole Avelus is put on hold till after. As soon as Yontif is over, then the Avelus begins. There's a quirk in Chutz Laaretz that the Avelus begins, but you lose a day. Why is that? Since the last day is a Sfeika D'Yoma, so you can't observe Avelus on the Sfeika D'Yoma because it's still Yontif Min D'Rabbanan. On the other hand, it's only a Safek, so to speak, so you can count it as the first day of Shiva. So when a person, let's say 2 weeks ago, somebody was a Kovah Mesa on Chol HaMoed, so the first day of actual observance was actually Sunday. That was the day of Isra Chal, day of Tzoy Yontif. But the first day of the count of Shiva was actually on Shabbos. So the person technically finished Shiva Friday morning rather than Shabbos morning, because Shabbos counted the first day, even though there's nothing you could really do on it, because it was a Suffolk of Yontif Achron. So comes to Ram Ruthenberg and says, the model of Chazavelis is that just because you were potter when Yontif started, it doesn't prevent, when Avelus starts, doesn't prevent you from starting up a little bit later. So that's what the Ma'amar Ruthenberg says, that the Katan, Shehigdil, Bimei Shiva, so he has to start counting Shiva, full-fledged Shiva, starts Namish, like a regular, starts day one, either the other relatives are up to day five already, he starts from day one, because for him, Vis-a-vis him, it's like Kovim Mesa Bered. And that was the model of the Mamre Ruttenberg. Then the Mamre Ruttenberg just touches up the model in a second, and he says that, what about the counting of Shloshim? Where does Shloshim fit into this picture? So he says that those who know Chesavelos will remember that the person who's Kovim Mesa Bered, a very, very strange din. Let's say a person died first Echel Moed Pesach 2 weeks ago. So they were buried, what day was the first Echel Moed? Was Monday, right? So they were buried on Monday. So Shiva didn't start on Monday. The counts of Shiva don't start till after Yondiv. The count of Shloshim, strangely enough, begins when? On Monday. You start counting Shloshim from Monday already, Chol HaMoed. How can you start counting Shloshim if you're not knowing Shloshim? What's the answer? Anyone know? If you're not knowing, the whole idea is you can't count the days of Shiva until you're starting to be knowing Shiva. So since Simchas Yom Tov prevents you from being knowing Shiva, so it's in impeding the counting just as impeding the Nihug. How come when it comes to Shloshim, you can start to count Shloshim in the middle of Chol HaMoed? What's the answer?
You're doing all the
Shloshim. What are the Shloshim things?
No
haircuts. No haircuts, which is exactly what you're doing in Chol HaMoed anyway, because it's Chol HaMoed, for other reasons. What else? Certain kinds of laundry, or dry cleaning, whatever, pressing clothes, which you're not doing in Chol HaMoed anyway. So the Gemara says, just like fluke, it's a strange thing. But whatever you can't do in Shloshim, that happens to be the same things you can't do in Chol HaMoed. For legitimate different reasons. Chol HaMoed is a big Yom Tov, very happy, and Shloshim is sad, but just by quirk, by coincidence, they're the same things. So like, it's a strange thing. The Edomite caught that. Well, since anyway you're observing, quote unquote, Shloshim, Shloshim starts. So it's a Monday thing. The guy's counting the days of Shloshim. He didn't count Shiva yet. So normally, when Shiva ends, there's another 23 days left of Shloshim. Here you can have Shiva end, there's another 17 days left of Shloshim. That's a fair Shigamar in my caught. So Marot Nuremberg says that we're already modeling the Katan Shehigdil. After Yom Tov, so we should follow the model in its entirety and say that if a child turns by mitzvah in the middle of Shiva, so in the middle of Shloshim, so he should start Shiva right afterwards, and he should have already counted Shloshim from the time when he was a Katan. So the Maamar said, no, that part of the equation is not accurate. Why? Because you don't want to be noy. You're under the age of a mitzvah. You want the chuv to be noy. You're allowed to get a haircut then. You're allowed to wash your clothes. You're allowed to press your clothes then before you bar mitzvah. So even though the model is being modeled after Yom Tov, it's a little bit nuanced different just in terms of that quirk of how to count Shloshim. But be karon, the model is correct. Fundamentally, the model is accurate. And what you learn from the halachas, what we could derive from the halachas of Yom Tov, is that it's shayach to begin avelus after a little bit of a hiatus, a little bit of a break, a little bit of a blank. You can pick up avelos at the appropriate time, where the appropriate time is Mitzvah Yom Tov is Shuchad, the appropriate time is the day of the Bar Mitzvah. That's the Maram Ruttenberg's model.
Why aren't you knowing Shiva, even if it happened, let's say, a year before? Let's say he was 11.
Oh, very good, excellent. Okay, good. So then Maram Ruttenberg follows the model to its entirety, and he says, you can have a break and you pick up avelos later. That's only if you're still within 30 days of the Kfura. Just as by Yom Tov. Let's say somebody died 28 days ago, and you didn't hear about it. I didn't hear about it until 28 days later. So normally, at 28 days, he starts Shiva and Shloshim. The rest of the family's over already. But for him, that's what's called the Shmua Krova. What if a person hears about it 35 days afterwards? Then there's no Shiva, no Shloshim at all. All there is what's called the Shmua Rechoka. Shmua Rechoka means he takes off his shoes for a minute, sits on the floor for a minute and shine and gets up, and that's it. That's the whole event. It's called Shmur Chayka. Today's world, Shmur Chayka is almost unheard of. In the olden days, it was very common. People get messages months, years later. My grandmother told me that she had, I think she had two times in her life, where she had Shmur Chaykas. If I'm not mistaken, I think she told me that when one of her parents, she was already living in America, her parents were still in Europe. So somehow they didn't send her a message, they didn't get the letters till the mail came. She didn't hear about it till it was much later. And another one, one of her brothers was killed in the Holocaust, so she didn't hear, she didn't know what had happened to him. Three, 4 years later, somebody came and told her they saw when he was that he was killed. So those are examples of Shmur Rechoka. So in the olden days, they were very common Shmur Rechoka. But as that, they're not so common. We have a high tech today, and people find out everything within a split second. So the Maram Rutberg says, what's the din? If somebody died 28 days ago, and you get the Shmua on Yom Tov, it's still within Shloshim, but by the time Yom Tov is going to be over, the 30 days will have already passed. So that's called the Shmua Rechoka. You can't start Avelis, you can't sit down and observe a full Shiva if it's more than 30 days since the Kfura. That's a Klal Gadol of Avelis, that's called the Shmua Rechoka. Even though The Shmua came when it was Krova, but the beginning of the Avelis has to start afterwards. That's Vait, that's also called the Shmua Rechek. That's the answer to your question. So if the Katan turns by mitzvah 6 months after the kid, after the parent died, that's only going to be a Shmua Rechek, and that's going to be enough. Fine. Back to our story. So the Kabbalah of Rutherbergen says, I'm telling you that you can start Avelis at a later point. That's okay. Comes Ma'am Ritterberg and asks the question on himself. He says, wait a second. How in the world can we advocate having a person starting Avelus at a later point when he was a Katan? He couldn't observe Avelus. He wasn't Chayv in Avelus. There was no, the Pasha of Avelus didn't speak to him at the time, being a Katan. And all of a sudden, he's going to come back. Baruch was going to have a, no pun intended, he's going to have a face him. 3 days later, he's going to start Avelus. So there was a time when he couldn't observe the Avelus. What term do we want to use now? What word am I looking for? The Avelus was what from him? It was Nipcha from him. Or he was Nipcha from it. He was in a sense in a state of Dichli. He couldn't observe Avelus if he wanted to then. He was a Kotel under Bar Mitzvah. What would it be Teifas? What would it be Chal? So there was a moment in time where the Mitzvah didn't speak to him. And now you want the Mitzvah to come back to him a little bit later on, 3-4 days later, when he turns Bar Mitzvah, Baruch Hamu, should start Avelus. So says Maram Rutberg, you're going to challenge me and you're going to tell me, what? You're going to tell me, Dichoy, let's cancel the whole Avelus based on Dichoy. What term does the Maram Rutberg turn around and throw at us? What term does he invoke? Four words. Ein Dichoy Eitzel Mitzvahs, of the Maram Rutberg. Ein Dichoy Eitzel Mitzvahs. And this is great. Why? What is this a case of? Is this near Vinich or is this Dicha Mikara? Dicha Mikara. He wasn't at the Pasha. This is the halach, as funny as it sounds, this is the halach equivalent of a I can't even say it with a straight face, of a hadas that, what? That had blackberries before Yontif. This is the halach equivalent of a hadas that was Nikdem Reish before Yontif. This is Dicha Mikara. Al Zen Ne'mar, that Dicha Mikara is what? Love you, the Maharam Rutherbergen invoked our Gemara to dispel any thoughts. Anyone who wanted to argue with me, says the Maharam Rutherbergen, you want to apply the rule of Dichai, you don't forget Dichai, because Sukkot Abba Gimel is basically going to tell you ain't Dichai Tzim Mitzvahs, especially here, because Abba Shdichai Beikar ain't Dichai Tzim Mitzvahs. And therefore you're chayiv to observe a Avelus. And the engine that's driving the Pesach of Maharam Rutherbergen is this principle of Aksuge Ein Dichai Tzim Mitzvahs. What do you think about that? Is this a valid comparison to our sugya? What is different about this than everything else we've learned about Dichai? How many cases of Dichai do we have? Let's think. What do we have? We have Dichai of Chiyah. Let's make a list. Make a list of different cases of Dichai. Give me some cases of Dichai. Come on. Nikdam, Hadas, Anovav, Ruben, right? Give me some more. Siadam. These are all potential issues of Dichai. What? Yeah, okay, let's stick to mitzvah. Let's stick to mitzvah for now. So, Ein Dichai. What is the characteristic that these three things have that this does not have? These three things are all addressing the point of issue, the point of potential dichoy lies in the heftah shel mitzvah. There's something wrong with this hadas. It's got a chipped off twig. There's something wrong with this hadas. It's got too many berries. There's something wrong with this blood. It's covered up by dirt. Over here, the point of dichoy is in the gavra hamakaymis mitzvah. So we've identified a difference between case 4 of the Maharam Rutherberg and the first three cases that appear in Sukkalam and Gimlam and Alvam and Beis. The only question we have to ask ourselves is, just because we identify a difference, what question do we have to ask? Is it a relevant difference? Is it true but irrelevant, or is it true and very much relevant? So obviously the Maharam Rutherberg thought it was true but irrelevant. He also saw that it's not the same. But guess what? This is lulav, this is blood, there are a lot of differences. One's a very sad case. Sukkos is ban simchaseinu. I mean, there are a lot of differences. But does that difference of Gavah Chavtz make the slightest bit of difference? So the Maharaj clearly thought not. He extrapolated it to his case of Ebbets from the three cases of any different cases. And it's that very point that the Rosh contends with his Rebbe. The Rosh says, no, that is not an irrelevant piece of information. That is not a technical detail. That is the fun, that is the Yesod of the Yesodis. That is it, everything. That is the most important part of point of information. This is where Avelus differs from the first three cases, Gavah versus Chefza. So hopefully Mitzvah tomorrow, we have to pick up from this Tekud and see what was it about this difference in Gavah and Chefza that the Rosh pushed as the demarcation within the cases, and why he Dafka disagreed Lamaisa with his Rebbe because of that very, very point. So that's going to hopefully open up for us a whole other dimension in the Sugya of Yesh Tich or Indi Tich Eitz. So Mitzvah tomorrow, we'll try to finish up the Sugya. Maybe we'll get to find the next one tomorrow, we'll see. Hopefully we'll try to finish up the Sugya. Okay, everybody, just a reminder. Everybody, please, please,